Hello, 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 and welcome back to episode 3, Bible with Justin. Bible with me with Justin. This is Justin. We left off on chapter 5. We're in Genesis. I am preparing myself here with a little bit of coffee, a little bit of weed. I heard something the other day, or I guess last night, that reminded me of another name. So I had mentioned that they were already calling God Jehovah. Where we are in the book, and that I was waiting for Yahweh to come up, and what I forgot about was Yeshua. Now, being somebody that has not, you know, really studied any of this, I did not know that Yeshua and Jehovah weren't the same people. I'm reading the book, and I'm seeing that Jehovah, they're referring to God, and I'm watching the Passion of the Christ last night, and Mary and everyone kept calling Jesus Yeshua. So I'm waiting to see that come up, and I'm wondering, well, where the hell did the Yahweh thing come in? Who was saying that name? There's so many different sects. I mean, I'm gonna learn as I go, right? We're gonna figure this out as we go. But it seems strange to me that there's all these conflicting names. Is Yahweh even from this Bible? I mean, I'm gonna find out we're all gonna find out as I go. But I wasn't sure. We'll real quick pause for the cows. I don't know how you pause or cause, but I like to get the the cheap eighths from the stores. Currently, I'm paying $10 an eighth. Actually, I think what I'm smoking right now was 15. Don't let me fib to you. But $15 an eighth, and $10 a gram for the concentrate, like a wax or a whatever you get. Preferably something that's not too sticky and too hard to maneuver onto the top of your bowl. You want something you can touch with your fingers and not fight with. The stickier it is, the more stressful it's going to be, and the less fun you're going to have doing it. Trust me. Take all the excitement out of it. I mean, you're forcing yourself to need to get high. Now you're not getting high to enjoy it or to relax or meditate or do whatever you do. Now you're getting high just to calm down because the concentrate got you so upset. Anyway, it's happened to me. Maybe it'll happen to you. Maybe it won't. I'm telling you, don't get anything sticky or runny. It'll just make your life miserable. Go with the kind of the wax that's what do they call it? Like a honeycomb or something that's a little harder and a little drier. You'll be able to manipulate it with your fingers. So I believe we left off Genesis chapter 5. One more hit here. Getting right back to it. Chapter 5. So where we just, I think the last paragraph was, and a son was also born to Seth, and he called his name Enos. Then it was begun to call on the name of Jehovah. And we were thinking that maybe, or I was thinking maybe that meant that they were they were calling out for God for some reason, for Jehovah. So chapter 5. This is the book of generations. This is the book of the generations of Adam. This is where we're going to start just hitting names so fast here, and so many of them that it gets so hard to follow. That if I come around a second time, or if I can revisit Genesis, I would like to just take all these names on a chalkboard and try and make like a tree and just see how that pans, how much room we need to do something like that anyway. But anyway, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he called them their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and fathered a son in his own likeness according to his image. Wait a minute. Go back. Here we go back. He made him in his likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. These generations, so he made them in the male and female. I guess where I'm getting confused here is, was he naming the male and the female Adam? Were they all Adams? He called their name Adam. And he called their name Adam. See, that blows me away. You're already suggesting that you're talking about more than one. So did the name Adam come before Eve and everything was... Anyway, hopefully this explains itself as I go. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and fathered a son in his own likeness according to his image and called him Seth, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. 800 years after he fathered the dude. And he'd already lived 130 years, so he's 930 years old when he dies. 930 years old. My goodness. I wonder, 930 months. I wonder how. Anyway. And he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Yeah, I guess we were going to explain that. And he died. Excuse me. And he died. Okay, I'm just excusing, I guess, the interruption because of the burp, not the burp itself. I hate to, you know, it's a God-given thing to do, so part of the machine that is me. No shame in that, letting that happen. Now, and Seth lived 105 years and fathered Enos. We're going to talk about how old they got to be before they have kids every time or something. That's kind of strange, too. Makes me wonder why that is. For he fathered Enos, and after he fathered Enos, Seth lived 807 years. 105 years, is it 12 there? 912 years? Fathered 7 years, and he fathered sons and daughters, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. All right, I'm done counting this up. I'm just going to say it. It's weird that there's this little form of math going on here. Everything's spelled out, so there's no numbers, but we're definitely kind of performing math, and you can double, I mean, it's just simple addition, but you can double check and make sure that it's correct. But that's weird that we're being that specific about the years. It to me, it means that may mean something that I don't understand, and there's some significance to the amount of years before you have a child or how long you live after you have a kid. Maybe if you had kids too late or too early, it meant something, and maybe if you weren't good to your kids or whatever, you didn't live long. Maybe the longer you left after kids was evidence of how well you were doing at raising them and multiplying. I don't know. I mean, I know that we're supposed to spread and multiply. That's kind of our job, right? So maybe you're rewarded for doing a good job. I mean, I don't know. I'm off track again. This seems to happen a lot. Okay. Enos, 905 years, and he died. No. Seth, 912 years. Okay, back to, on to 9. Genesis, chapter 5, verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and fathered Canaan. So they're fathering kids younger and younger here, too. After he fathered Canaan, Enos lived 850 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. All of the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan, now I'm hoping that, okay, this is C-A-I-N-A-N. I'm hoping that that's how you say that. And Canaan lived 70 years and fathered Mahalalel. Okay, M-A-H-A-L-A-L-E-E-L. Mahalalel. That is just a mouthful in itself. But once again, Canaan here lived only 70 years before having a kid. So I think we started somewhere around 130, and each generation keeps dropping off for a good 10 or more years. And having kids earlier and earlier. Just strange. Like, obviously, sex is being introduced sooner. Or something, right? I mean, anyway. Or, you know, I guess there's... Think about this more. I guess as you're multiplying, you're spreading. There's just more people, and there's more options for sex. So it's happening faster, potentially. Anyway. Canaan lived 70 years and fathered Mahalalel. And after he fathered Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all of the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and fathered Jared. Jared spelled just as Jared would be. Again, this is 5 years earlier than his father had a kid, so I'm guessing it's got to be. This is just going to keep reducing, right? The more people, the more. So his father had more kids. They had kids. Yeah, you know, all the kids of the kids from before the kids are having kids, and it's just getting more and more spread out. So I have no idea what an overpopulation number would look like right now, but we're definitely, I think the reduction in age for having children has a lot to do with the populations growing. Father Jared. And after he fathered Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years. And he fathered sons and daughters, and all the days of Mahalalil were 895 years. And he died. A little younger than his predecessors, huh? And Jared lived 162 years and fathered Enoch. We got another Enoch then, right? Or are we just finally getting back to... I guess we'll know if Enoch has Irad, then it's the same one. And Jared lived 160... Sorry to keep repeating myself, but I've got to start back where I was to stay on track, because this text is so small, if I don't jump back up to the start of, like, the sentence or the paragraph, it's really easy to lose my place. And after he fathered Enoch, Jared lived 800 years. And he fathered sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. So not. And Irad was born to Enoch. And Irad, so there, this is the second Enoch then. Well, I guess there's probably going to be repetition in names. I mean, I don't know how many names they had in the pool to start with in, at the beginning. So anyway. So 65 years, same as his father then. We're kind of pacing slower, I guess you would say, as far as the reduction in age going for having the children. This hasn't changed at all since the last generation. Enoch walked with God 300... Oh, wait, whoa. And Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God 300 years after he fathered Methuselah. And he fathered sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Well, that's short. And Enoch walked with God. Then he was not, for God took him. Oh, maybe this is that Enoch. That, whoa, I don't even know. That's crazy. And Enoch walked with God. So he must have been extremely good or something. Then he was not. So then he was just gone. For God took him. So then he was just not. For then he was not. He was not around anymore. Just the guy went to heaven. He must be up there holding down fort. That's like, yeah. God found a CEO. Something. And Methuselah lived 187 years and fathered Lamech. Repeating names. And after he fathered Lamech, I'm not sure. Methuselah, real quick, was Methuselah. And Lamech, I believe we have already spelled and covered. Not sure if it's Esh or Ek, but moving on. We'll go with Lamech just for the... It's easier to say. It's quicker. Methuselah lived 782 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and fathered a son. So now we're going up. Wow. This guy might have gone the longest without having a kid, huh? Well, his father did. Lived 187 years. All right, then Lamech lived 182 years. We're up to the 180 mark now for having a kid. We more than doubled. I wonder if Enoch had anything to do with the slowing down of the sex. Anyway, 82 years and fathered a son. He called his name Noah. Oh, saying, "This one shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." And after he fathered Noah, Lamech lived 595 years, and he fathered sons and daughters. All of the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Wow, full circle. So it's like we got that same story with some of the people. We just got some new names, and we left out some names. Like Irad and whatnot. Huh, okay. So, chapter 6. Sorry, that paused me a minute. And I'm looking back like something in this book is going to, there's going to be a pop. Oh, but you missed this little, pull open this tab and it'll explain all that real quick. Okay. Moving forward. Still don't know about that spinning sword. I mean, I've seen some videos and that didn't help at all. So, hopefully that comes up again. Like some kind of description throughout one of these, you know, the Holy Bible or the New Testament, that we get some kind of description of that. That'd be great. Chapter 6. And it came about that men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were good, and they took wives for themselves from all those whom they chose. And Jehovah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. In their erring, he is flesh. Erring. E-R-R-I-N-G. In their erring? Erring. He is flesh. And his days shall be 120 years. So he just put a cap on man for 120 years. Now, we don't live that long now, right? You see the people make it over 100 are on Good Morning America, right? Getting shout-outs. But if you think about it, with all the crap that we've done to our food, we've done to our air and everything else, with our poor oxygen quality and our poor food quality, living to 90, 80, 90, that's quite a feat. If you could reinvigorate our water, make it pure again, make our air pure, get a heavy or a high oxygen content in it, higher than we have now, stop the pollution and the poisoning of the food and all that, maybe stop eating dairy altogether, meat products, anything that causes cancer or your body to swell. I'm a proponent that there's no such thing as fat. What's happening when you eat improper foods is your body is insulating itself, just like it does when you scratch or cut yourself. Your body will insulate that area of the wound. Well, I think when you eat a bunch of food you're not supposed to eat, your body insulates every area that you feed it. So from your face, your neck, down through your stomach, and right on out your butt. And those are the areas that seem to blow up on people first. All the areas that intake, process, and out, get rid of the poisons we're ingesting. And when you continuously feed it, it just, it spreads because it's in your blood. It gets to such a high content that I think you're so saturated with it in your system that that's how you end up with cankles. I think if you started drinking distilled water and went completely vegan, I mean, I'm not even raw vegan, I'm vegan, but not, I haven't gone that step. I don't have a garden. It's hard to do without one. Once you do that, I think that your quality of life and your longevity of life will absolutely improve. And I've started putting blue spruces and things like that inside any kind of plant that will generate oxygen inside my home, around the windows and everywhere, to try and raise the oxygen level in my home. Just see if that helps. I got a 4-year-old that's autistic, and anything I can do to improve her quality of life is an absolute key for me. So yeah, let's carry on. Sorry for sidetracking here. Chapter 6. And it came about that men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. Oh my God, I already read this. 120 years. Okay, so sorry. And his day shall be 120 years. The giants were in the earth in those days. The giants! Oh no. It just flat out says it. The Nephilim, the giants. Well, it doesn't say it, but the giants were in the earth in those days. In it? Inside of it? I'm a flat earth proponent, so when I say in it, I mean under, just underground. I don't mean I mean between the space of the surface and the shoal, or potentially the water or whatever that would be beneath us, would be my idea. Okay, anyway. The giants were in the earth in those days, and even afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore to them, they were heroes, which existed from ancient time, the men of name. No way! So, dude, come on. This has got to be talking about, the Greek gods, all those. This is suggesting they were real. So the giants were sleeping with the humans. We're not even talking about, the fallen angels right now, right? We're just talking about giants. I mean, are we going to come back and find out that the giants are the fallen angels, the Nephilim? Or right now we're just saying giants, and that these people became heroes. They were heroes, which existed. And so they existed in this paragraph is the font's a little different on that. It's putting heavy emphasis on it to say this is real. It existed. This isn't this wasn't a thought. This was a fact. This is blowing my mind. They exist, man, from ancient time, the men of name, and Hercules, you know what I mean? Like guys like that, just all those start coming to my mind. These are the generations of Noah. Oh, sorry. I just jumped up on 9. That's what happens. Text is so small. I'm not backing up. So, the men of name. And Jehovah saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his was of his heart was only evil all day long. Whoa. And Jehovah saw that The evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil. All the day long. Well, they put emphasis on the was and the, twice on was, to just kind of say that it is what it is. And Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. Oh, that sucks. Nuh-uh. He repented that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved to his heart. Really? Oh, so there's a moment where God's like, oh, why did I do this? So he second-guessed us. Ouch. And Jehovah said, I will wipe off man who I have created from the face of the earth, from man to beast, to the creeping thing, and to the bird of the heavens, for I repent that I made them. And Noah found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. So he's even wants to wipe out everything, but Noah? He's looking at old Noah there like, yeah, everything's screwed, but you over here on your farm, you're doing a good job. I don't know. I like you. If they were all like you, I mean, isn't that... Huh. I don't know. Discipline, I guess, is the word of the Lord. Not this do what thou wilt, but we're definitely raised in a society where you would kind of look at this and be like, well, that's kind of... What an oppressive father. But really, if the plan was to do something and there's just everyone straying off, and then you have one that's doing what they're supposed to be doing, you just can't help but feel like this whole idea seems horrible, except for the one guy that's actually doing it the way that you kind of you imagined it and you wanted it, and he's doing great. So you're like, you want to kill them all, but there's just one guy you like. Huh. Thank God for Noah. Thank everything for Noah. If you're a man. Right, moving on. These are the generations of Noah. Noah, a righteous man, had been perfected among his family. Noah walked with God, hey, like Enoch did. And Noah fathered three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth. And the earth was corrupt before God. Okay. I'm gonna look at that more like before, like standing before him, like as he stood there, and it was before in front of him. You know, not before he existed. Okay. Sorry, it's immediately my brain just triggers on those words when I see that. Like, whoa, what does that mean? It was corrupt before God, so like then God can't fix it. There was man before God. I thought God created man, but no. What he's saying is that as he looked out upon man, the earth was corrupt. Corrupted by man, I imagine. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupted. For all flesh had corrupted its way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them along with the earth. Make an ark of cypress timbers for yourself. You shall make rooms in the ark, and you shall cover it with asphalt inside and out. I'm just real quick, I want to say, when he says he destroys the earth, I guess what he's saying is he's just going to kind of change its shape or something, or maybe... You know, you're going to pull up waters and then reseed them in different areas or something and wipe everything that they built off? That destroying the earth part kind of blows me away because he doesn't create a new earth after the flood. As far as the creation story is concerned, we'll find out what he does, I guess, right? So before I say something that I don't know, just my understanding of it is a little... or off right now. Anyway, you shall make rooms in the along with the earth. Make an ark of cypress timbers for yourself. You shall make rooms in the ark, and you shall cover it with asphalt inside and out. Asphalt, really? Asphalt. Back then, it was already. I thought you had to produce asphalt through a process, and God, you wouldn't think that would be heavy. That would just sink the dang thing. But okay. I guess it's the shape of the hole that keeps that from happening, and that's why these huge steel structures that we make nowadays can carry our army with hundreds of thousands of pounds on top of them. So anyway. And you shall make it this way. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window in the ark, and you shall finish it above to a cubit. And you shall set the door of the ark in its side. Huh. And you shall make it with lower, second, and third stories. And behold, I am bringing a flood of waters on the earth in order to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under the heavens. Everything which is on the earth shall die. And I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And you shall bring into the ark two of every kind, of every living thing of all flesh, to keep alive with you. They shall be male and female, from the fowl after its kind and from the cattle after its kind, from every creeping thing of the ground after its kind. Two from each shall come into you to keep alive. And take for yourself all food that is eaten, and gather to yourself. And let it be for you and for them for food. And Noah did so, according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Huh. All right. I've seen so many different depictions of this, or heard so many, depictions in just so many different ways throughout my life, that it's a trip to be reading this, like an actual Bible version, and see just how direct these words are. It doesn't... If you weren't reading this, they sure do make it sound like it's all so confusing, or this is what he meant, or this is what he meant. Well, I mean, right now I don't have a problem understanding anything that Jehovah or God has said. He's very clear. I'm confused by the confusion. He's very clear. This seems very forward and very direct so far. All right, chapter 7. And Jehovah said to Noah, "You and all your houses come into the ark, for I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. You shall take to yourself from every clean animal by sevens. You shall take to yourself from every clean animal by sevens, male and female." I thought it was twos. Huh. "And from the animals, from the animal that is not clean by two." Oh. Wait a minute. So. "And Jehovah said to Noah, 'You and all your house come into the ark, for I have seen you in righteous before me in this generation. You shall take to yourself from every clean animal by sevens.'" Clean animals get to come on by sevens, male and female, which is weird because that means there's going to be an odd number of either male or females for each species, which means that let's say it's there's four men and three women. There's an odd guy out, which means there's going to be fighting. And if it's, say it's the other way, let's say there's four women and three men, then there's an odd woman out and there's going to be a seductress. So there's kind of one that's going to have to wrestle with sin no matter what. Huh. "And from the animal that is not clean by two, male and female, they..." They don't have to fight. You stink. You guys stay over there. Just reproduce. We'll get you in a mud hole as soon as we land. "And take of the fowl of the heavens by sevens, male and female, to keep alive seed on the face of the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and will wipe away every living substance that I have made from the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that Jehovah commanded him. Noah was 600 years old. And the flood of waters was on the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. And they went into Noah into the ark. And they went in to Noah into the ark, male and female of clean animals, and of animals that are not clean, and of the fowl, and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two, as God had commanded Noah." And that just is extremely confusing. I mean, I get it. The clean animals go by sevens. I wonder if man is considered that too. Was there only seven humans on the boat? But they sure do like to go back and kind of reiterate this two by two thing. And I'm guessing that means that they're walking in two lines by twos. I don't know. That's just confusing. The seven thing just throws it off for me. It's just a number that doesn't compute into the twos, but whatever, it does in some fashion. And I guess if you have enough sevens equally throughout for lines of twos, as long as you have a seven with a seven, you have 14 and a total number, and it'll equal out evenly anyway. But whatever, this is a lot of thought into nothing. So, moving on. "And in time, after the 7 days, the waters of the flood came into being on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, in this day, all the fountains of the great deep were risen. All the fountains of the great deep. So the water came from below. And the windows of the heavens were opened up. The windows of the heavens. I've commonly heard, or not commonly, I've often heard that when you look up at the sky at night, the what we're told is the blue arm of the Milky Way is actually where the firmament was opened for the waters to fall and then resealed. And that's why it's a lighter color through there, because it's been breached in that spot. The windows of the heavens were opened up, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In this same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them went to the ark. They and every animal after its kind, and every beast after its kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every fowl after its kind, every bird of every wing. And they went into Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. And those going in went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and Jehovah shut behind him. We kind of repeated all that, didn't we? And the flood was on the earth 40 days, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were greatly increased on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters were strong, exceedingly violent on the earth. Ooh, deadliest catch going on, huh? And all the high mountains under the heavens were covered. The waters grew strong, 15 cubits upward. That's huge. I mean, that's what the boat... Well, I mean, how big is this boat? 15 cubits upward. The boat was 30 cubits high, right? So just only half the size of the boat, which now doesn't make it seem so bad. I mean, violent, sure. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure you can get all kinds of tossed around in that, you know, with waves that are half the length of your boat. Well, I don't know. I guess they would have to be higher in the boat, right? Half the boat's going to be in the water. The other half, showing half, would be what the waves were cresting up on. So, yeah, I guess these are big waves. And all the high mountains, strong, exceedingly violent on the earth, and all the high mountains under the heavens where the waters grew strong 15 cubits upward. And the mountains were covered, and all the flesh that moved on the earth died, the fowl and cattle and beast and every swarming thing that swarms on the earth, and all mankind, all died in whose nostril was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land. And every living thing that was on the face of the earth was wiped away, from man to cattle and to creeping things, into the creeping things, of the fowl of the heavens. And they were wiped off from the earth, and only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters were strong on the earth 150 days. And the waters were strong on the earth 100. So it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But the waters stayed for 150 days? Oh my God, that's 5 months? 5 months. This thing had to be huge. Had to be huge. I mean, how many animals were there at the time? Had to be huge. 5 months worth of food. Then again, how much better was the food? How often did you need to eat back then? Anyway. That's a long time. I've never heard that. I've always heard the 40 days, 40 nights. In my mind, at the end of the 40 nights, this thing just kind of receded off back to where it goes. I mean, there wasn't another like 4 months of dealing with it. It never even dawned on me. That's heavy. That is very, very heavy. Just wow. So anyway, chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle which were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. And the fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were stopped, and the rain from the heavens was restrained. Restrained. So are you talking about after 150 days or after 40 days and nights? Huh. And the waters retreated from the earth. Oh, going right there, sorry. And the waters retreated from the earth, going and retreating. And the waters diminished at the end of the 150 days. So it was 150 days, not 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, 150 days of water at the same level being tossed around before it began retreating. And God remembered Noah, because it doesn't give you a timeline there. And the waters diminished at the end of the 150 days. So it makes me wonder, was this a slow diminish, or did they, at the 150 day mark, did it drain out just like it came? And in the seventh month, and on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. Well, that's where that comes from. That flat out says Ararat, A-R-A-R-A-T. And in the seventh month, and on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. Without a doubt. Yeah, Ararat. Okay. And the waters were going and falling until the 10th month. And the 10th month, on the first of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. 10 months. So we're not talking 5 months. 10 months? So at 150 days, the water just starts to, it stops pouring and it's now just going away. But it's going to take, God, another 10 months or 5 months for just the tops of the mountains to be seen. Wow. And it happened at the end of 40 days, and Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. What? And in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters were going and falling. And it happened at the end of 40 days. So this is it 40 days after he rested on the top of the mountain? And Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent out a raven, and it went out, going out and returning until the waters were dried up from off the earth. He also sent out from him the dove to see if the waters had gone down off from the face of the earth. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned to him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of all the earth. And he put out his hand and took her and pulled her into him into the ark. Okay, so basically he's sending birds out, and I guess the idea is that if there's a tree out there for them to land on, they'll land on it and nest. If there's anywhere for them to make a home, they'll make a home, they won't come back. But if the bird comes back, that's because this is the only place he can stop flapping his wings. Pretty smart idea, really. Something I absolutely never would have thought about. And if I've caused anyone to yawn through any of this, I'm so sorry. It's because I slowed down the coffee intake while I'm talking. And he waited yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening. And behold, in her mouth was a newly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had gone down from off the earth. And he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove. And she did not return again to him anymore. And in the 601st year, at the beginning, on the first of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth. And in the 601st year, at the beginning, on the first of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth. 601st year, how can it be 601st year now? We've already had people live way longer than that. Did we start counting time at some point? And did this flood last 600 years? I am way confused on that. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the earth was dried. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. And God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you." And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. So is that 2 months of being up on the, almost 3 months of being, is that just after the ark landed? Man, they really play with time here. They are just throwing around dates and times and lengths of times in contradiction to other times that they've already talked about that make this extremely confusing where timelines are concerned. I can see where if there's one thing right now that I have a hard time interpreting, it's where they're at with all these times. I mean, when you start when you start that, you know, verse 13 on chapter 8, it says, and in the 601st year at the beginning, on the first of the month, the waters were dried up from the off the earth. Was 601st year, is that 601st year from the time earth was created? Because we've had men that have lived longer than that already. I mean, we're on Noah. I mean, there was generations before him that lived 600-800 years. I mean, that is really confusing. Yeah. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry, and God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. That is just crazy. Bring out from you every living thing that is with you, of all flesh, of fowl, of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and let them swarm on the earth, and bear, and multiply on the earth. Let them swarm on the earth, and bear, and multiply. Bear the earth, bear the condition. Okay, and multiply. That would be... Okay, anyway. I was thinking for a minute, it was bear, like, get naked and make love, and multiply, but... If you swarm on the earth and you bear down, make a home. Yeah, I'm guessing that would be my better, more my closer to final interpretation of what that would be. And then the multiply would obviously imply that you're going to multiply, and we all know how that's done. So multiply on the earth. And Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, and every animal, every creeping thing, every fowl, all of which creeps on the earth, they went forth out of the ark according to their families. Then Noah built an altar to Jehovah. And he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And Jehovah smelled the delightful odor. And Jehovah said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for the sake of man, because the imagination of the heart of man is evil from his youth. Yea, I will not again smite every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. That's another just confusing element of it all. So this Noah, I'm guessing, built an altar and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings. There's only two of them. How is he taking one of them and killing them and they're going to multiply? Unless he just took a feather from each one and burnt them in God's name, that started a fire with just their stuff. But that doesn't make it. And Jehovah smelled the delightful odor. I don't get it. Jehovah kills an animal and cooks it in God's name. God's like, well, I guess you don't have to be vegan. Anyway, I'm not second guessing God here. I'm just really confused by that. That just seems so weird. But all right, I doubt that's not the first thing, and it won't be the last. So, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and your fear and your dread shall be on all the animals of the earth and on every bird of the heavens and on all that moves on the earth and on all the flesh and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Every creeping thing which is alive shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green plant, but you shall not eat flesh in its life, its blood, and surely the blood of your lives I will demand. Okay, so there goes veganism. I got to look at that one more time. I'm going to have to read this one more time. I apologize. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and your fear and your dread shall be on all the animals of the earth. They shall fear you and dread you. Why? And on every bird of the heavens, on all that moves on all the earth, and in all the fish of the sea, they are given into your hands. Every creeping thing which is alive shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green plant. But you shall not eat flesh in its life, its blood. And surely the blood of your lives I will demand. At the hand of every animal I will demand it. And at the hand of man, I will demand the life of man at the hand of every man's brother. Whoever sheds man's blood, his blood shall be shed by man. For he made man in the image of God. And you, be fruitful and multiply. Swarm over the earth and multiply in it. All right, well, that covers the whole in it thing. We are not in it, so that's we're on it, obviously. And that meant that the giants were just up top with us, I guess, in my interpretation of that. And God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "Behold, I, even I, am establishing my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature which is with you, among fowl, among cattle, and among every animal of the earth with you, from all that go out from the ark to every animal of the earth. And I have made stand my covenant with you, and all flesh shall not be cut off again by the waters of a flood, nor shall there ever again be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This, the sign of the covenant which I am about to make between me and you, and every living soul which is with you, for everlasting generation." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I am about to make between me and you." Okay, I messed that up. "And every living soul which is with you for everlasting generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And when I gather the clouds on the earth, then the bow shall be seen in the clouds." Now, real quick, to me, this means that he has domed us. There is a firmament. And when you bring the clouds into the area, the moisture, you'll see a rainbow. The shape of the dome. And that's to remind us of our covenant with God. I think that's why everybody finds rainbows so awe-inspiring. Next time you see one, maybe pray to your father. Tell him how much you love him and how grateful you are. Because that is a moment when he is smiling upon us. "And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and every living soul and all flesh. And the water shall not again become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the clouds, and I shall see it, to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living soul, and all flesh which is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have made stand between me and all flesh that is on the earth." And the sons of Noah that went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. That's C-A-N-A-A-N. I think we already had him. These are the three sons of Noah, and the whole earth was overspread from them. So we all came from these three guys and their three wives, who they don't quite spend as much time really discussing at all, do they? Huh. "And Noah, a man of the ground, began and planted a vineyard, and he drank from the wine and was drunk." Oh, whoa. Let's start that over. I wasn't expecting that. Okay. "And Noah, a man of the ground, began and planted a vineyard, and he drank from the wine and was drunk. And he uncovered himself inside his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And he told his two brothers outside. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and put it on both of their shoulders. And they went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, their faces backward. And they did not see the nakedness of their father. And Noah awoke from his wine." Not his sleep. He awoke from his wine. So he came out of his wine-induced coma. "He awoke from his wine, and he came to know what his younger son had done to him. And he said, 'Cursed be Canaan. He shall be a slave of slaves to his brothers.' And he said, 'Blessed be Jehovah, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his slave. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall live in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be their slave.' And Noah lived 350 years after the flood. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died." So, whoa, let me get this straight. After all was said and done with the flood and landing and whatnot, Noah, with not much left to do, decides he's going to plant a vineyard and just kind of become a drunk. And because there was like some kind of establishment, I would guess that there's some type of society being established or living ways. The dude, his son came out of there, was like, "Oh, hey, don't go in there. He's naked," right? So the two kids were like, "Well, why don't we just cover him up? We won't look at him. We won't like, you know, we won't upset him in this way. We won't violate his privacy by doing this." But we'll cover him up. And I mean, I'm confused by the violation. Is the violation that he was naked in his own tent, and that's why they should not have covered him up? You shouldn't be ashamed of him. Is the violation that they covered God's body, and you just shouldn't be ashamed? Because it sounds like people weren't walking around naked anyway. After after Adam and Eve had eaten from the apple, they had covered themselves, right? So the very first two clearly started wearing clothes, and we're gonna figure that carried on. So what was he so upset about? Was he upset that they'd covered him in his home? Are we implying here that it's okay to be naked in your home and that no one should be embarrassed or be able to judge you or should have? Why would you turn somebody into a slave for thinking that maybe? Look, if my mom got super drunk and passed out naked, I would put a blanket on her. Now, I guess the only other side of this that would make some kind of sense in a discipline sense would be that maybe by not covering them and allowing them to be seen like that and allowing them that shame and that embarrassment within the community and the people that would say things, you know, you would get labeled just a drunk that falls down naked. Maybe that would be their punishment, and that's how it's brought to their attention to not do it. Maybe that's how the system's supposed to work for them to understand that what they're doing is not godly. There's no logos in it, but I don't get that. Because the way he punishes him just seems so jealous or just overly enraged. I mean, you turned one of your kids, right? Or one of your kids' kids into a slave just for putting a blanket on you. I guess I'm a little lost in the... I'm going to read this 20 more times. We're going to stop here for the day. I will get back to more of this I guess Monday now. If I get the chance in between time, I know I missed a day this week. It's generally going to be Monday through Thursday, but I have an autistic daughter and we have days. And on those days, I won't necessarily be able to record anything. So we've left off here with the Noah's death. And we'll be picking up on chapter 10 of Genesis moving forward. And all you guys have a great day. Thanks for listening, and God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.